Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Come on, would you give that to the Lord right now all across the house? Would you join your voice with it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was going to poke fun at Brother Wilbanks, but he just said really nice things and I would feel bad. I was going to make an inside joke to him that today would be about the second time he's heard me preach in his life. I used to kid him a lot, but we're always running two different directions. But it's an honor to be at Central. I give honor to he. I give honor to your pastor and your pastor's wife. I know that you know this very well, but you are tremendously blessed with an incredible pastor and pastor's wife. And we love and appreciate the Harmons. And give them honor today and pray for them during this time and pray for them as they travel. But if you have your Bible today, I will take you very quickly to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. And we've sang about this already, so my sermon is not going to be revelatory. It's just going to be a reminder of what you've already heard saying and declared in this house this morning. Ephesians, the third chapter and the 20th verse. You're very familiar with the beginning of this verse. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If you'll allow me, I will draw your attention to the portion of this verse that you are very well acquainted with. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think. But let me pause to show you that there is something required on our part according to the power that worketh in us. If you'll allow me just for the next few minutes to minister to you on this thought, the intersection of able and willing. The intersection of able and willing. Would you lift your hands and your voice with me one more time across this house? Lord, we love you. We're thankful for the moving and the ministering of your Spirit that is already at work in this place. Lord, we pray that you would do whatever you desire, however you desire to do it, for you're perfect in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And God, you're not a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but you are well acquainted with every season and with every situation that sits in this sanctuary today. And we pray that you would move and that you would minister according to your great power and according to your great ability. Let it be so in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't know if anyone in the house, and I know that we have educators in the room, Educator of the Year, Sister Wilbanks. So I certainly do not proclaim to be an educator in pretty well anything. Okay, it's just bad. You don't need me teaching you how to fix your car. That would be a train wreck. The only thing I'm decent at teaching is Bible studies. I can do that. English is not my thing. Math is not my thing anymore. Used to be. I thought I was going to use an engineering degree for a moment, and that never happened. Sales. Who knew? But if I am to be utterly transparent, there are things about those elementary school years that you never forget. Is there anybody in the room that still remembers the name of elementary school teachers that you had? Anybody still remember what the hallway looked like? Sister Whitney, you'll remember, and Brother Kyle, the random ramp that sat in the middle of our high school. that we had no idea why it was there. Wasn't for accessibility. Everything was accessible. Just decided, hey, a ramp would look really good right in the middle of Boonville High School. I don't really get in trouble for not being able to remember those things that happened. This is, man, I'm fixing to date us with Will Banks. I don't get in trouble for not being able to recall things that happened 20 years ago. It makes me feel old that I have memories that are 20 years old. I can remember that stuff like it was yesterday. What gets me in trouble is I can't remember what my wife told me to do from the time I leave my bedroom to the time I get to my kitchen. I can remember my third grade teacher. I can remember the smell of the elementary school hallway because it was the 90s. Everybody wore the same perfume. Every teacher, it came in their starter pack. You got red pens and whatever perfume that was because it all filled the hallway. And then they chose to take those red pens and they tore me up. I'm pretty sure I was responsible for the use of many packs of those old red gel pens. They would grade those papers and just... Especially my English teacher. I slept through the majority of that class. I woke up many times to Miss Marty Downs putting lipstick on my forehead because I was asleep. And so she would equally mark up my papers. Little did I know that English would be the one thing I would probably need for the rest of my life. I figured I didn't need to study it. I kind of live here and we speak it and we do the things. And if you didn't know English, I just kind of felt like it should come natural. It didn't. Her red pen was evidence of that. And the amount of run-on sentences in my notes today further exemplifies. But there's some things I'll never forget. I had a teacher one time that if you ask her a question, she not only critiqued your paper, she critiqued it when it came out of your mouth. She was constantly grading you. Now, I'll never forget, she always would ask. I would ask her, I would say, can I go to break? And she would say, I don't know, can you? Can I go to the library? I don't know, can you? Can I do, I don't know, can you? Well, look, it doesn't take a whole lot to motivate a fat guy. And so the first time I asked, can I go to break, I didn't know we were being given a grammar lesson. I said, can I go to break? And she said, I don't know, can you? And I said, absolutely, I can. I walked out, end of story. That's not exactly what she was getting at. She was trying to emphasize to me that can I is a question of ability. May I is a question of permission. Can I tell you today, can I does not enter into the equation when we talk about the ability of God. It's not can he heal, he can heal. It's not can he deliver, he can deliver. It's not can he feel with the Holy Ghost, he can feel. It's not can he give new life, he can give new life. It's not can old things pass away, but yes, all things can pass away and all things become new. Can I tell you on a Sunday morning, there is no question about the ability of God. He is abundantly able to do exceeding. I think Paul summarizes it well when he says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you ask or think. It doesn't leave anything to guess, and it doesn't leave anything out of the equation. He is able. Ephesians gives a great summary of that. Now unto him who is able. It's only a few pages removed from the very table of contents of your Bible to find the ability. If anybody wants to know, my man has the ability to run. It's the table of contents of your Bible. Genesis begins to describe to you the ability of God, begins to share with you what God can do as the voice of God bolsters out of the midst of darkness, formlessness, and void. And God, by his ability speaks and darkness bends and chaos forms to his will and to his plan. If you want to know if God can move in dark situations, Genesis would declare to you, unto him who is able. If you want to know what God can do with chaos, only read the very introduction of Genesis to find God's ability in the midst of chaos, because he speaks into the chaotic nothing, and he brings order, and he brings light, and he brings design, and he brings his will, and he brings his prayer. If you want to know what God can do with the dark, void, chaotic situations that happen in your life, just take a gander at the ability of God, who can speak into darkness and bring marvelous light, who can speak into nothing and produce something. If you've walked into the house today feeling like there's nothing left and nothing to offer, let me introduce you to the one who's able to take nothing and form everything. Now unto him who is able. You continue to read through the pages of your Bible, story after story, account after account, would declare to you the ability of God. You not only find that darkness obeys, you find that he speaks to storms and storms cease. He speaks and famines end. He speaks and fire falls. He speaks and victories are won. Let me just pause to interject to you, if Israel can be given victory by the word of God over nations stronger and mightier than they were, then let me declare to you that God can give you victory over circumstances that seem stronger and seem mightier and seem bigger. But let me introduce you to one who is able. Throughout the entirety of your Bible, you would find stories like that of Israel as they journey through the wilderness, and you would see God's ability to provide a way where there seems to be no way. You would find it's his ability to protect and to restore and to give them a land that they thought was beyond them. But God said, no, I'm going to take you there, not by your strength or by your might or by your ability, but I'm going to take you there by my ability. And so the hand of God sustains and it protects and it keeps them, because he is able. I share with you something, and this is from another message, so if we come back in the future and I preach that message, act like you didn't hear it. But it's impressive to me and intriguing that God leads Israel with a cloud by day and a fire by night. And sometimes we think that that was just because the visuals would be good. What can you see good in the daytime? A cloud, that's nice. Let's do that. What can you see good at night? Fire. But can I tell you, there's more to that than just the visual ability to see that clearly. We know the fire is representative of the Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us, and we understand that analogy. But can I tell you, there's a little something more to that as well, because God has such a great ability and such great forethought that when they are about to walk into a dry, barren wilderness, that history would tell you the degrees would rise over 103 in the day, and in the night it would drop down to 3 degrees. That's pretty good temperature swing. But God says, I've got so much forethought of every step you're going to take that I'm going to put a cloud at day that would block the heat of the day from you. And at night, when that temperature drops, I'm so mindful of where you are that I'm going to put a fire there that would illuminate and warm the... Why? Because God is not just interested in leading you in some mass scale. He is intricately involved in every detail of the journey. It's not just some mass promise. He's intricately involved in every daily detail of your life. I bring to you the scripture that he numbers your hairs and that he feeds the sparrow and so he watches you. And let me remind somebody on a Sunday that God is in the details. He's able to not only give you a promise, he's able to guide every step of the way. He's not able just to say you can. He's able to show you how to do it. So we see the ability of God. We could take this morning and we could go page by page, story by story, and only scratch the surface of what God is able to do. The witness of the three Hebrew boys would bear record that God is able to keep in the face of the flames of oppression. The pen of Daniel would record that his mighty hand keeps at bay the mouth of roaring lions. Paul would tell us what he's able to do in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. Let me just pause and interject this as well. Grace brings you to the place of salvation, for by grace we are saved through faith. But grace is not just the introduction to salvation. It's grace by which we grow. It's not just God's will that we accept grace to bring us to repentance and to baptism and to receive the Holy Ghost. And that's good, and that is a work of grace. But if you cut grace off there, then grace has not brought you to the abounding of every good work. Because he says, now unto God, God is able to make grace abound toward you. He's writing to already churched people, and they still need grace because it brings us to good works and it brings us to abounding, and it's by grace that we grow to the full stature of the man Christ Jesus. And we find Paul's writing, God is able to make grace abound. He writes to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 and 12, he said, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Again, the pen of Hebrews would declare to you the ability of God when he would write, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you want to know if God's able to save, let me recall the word of Hebrews, now unto him who is able to save to the uttermost. If you want to know if God's able to reach into the lives of prodigals, let me declare unto you, there's one who is able to save to the uttermost. If you want to know what God is able to do in the life of someone who will call on him, let me show you, now unto him who is able to save to the uttermost them that call on him. Let me declare to you, there is no limiting factor of God's ability. There is no place, no problem, or no position of life that hampers, hinders, or halts. God is able. It is the book of Jude that would again declare of God's ability. In Jude 1 and 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I love that verse, because when life shifts and when everything shakes and when life becomes uncertain, let me remind you, he is able to keep you from falling. When you don't know how, you don't know where, you don't know when. When everything in your life just seems a little off, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We could reference every story, every season, and we can see God's infinite ability. But I believe we could also just recollect the words of Paul. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Summarizes God's ability. Because God is able to do anything. God is able to do everything. There's never a situation, a circumstance, a sickness, a problem that you'll encounter that his ability is waning. No. He is able. But yet I must preach to you on this Sunday morning that in all of the infinite greatness of God's ability, there's something greater than his ability. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to restore. He's able to redeem. He's able to keep. He's able to save. He's able to give grace. His ability is endless. But there's something greater than God's ability, and it is God's willingness. As infinite as his ability, his willingness is greater than his ability. Brother Ethan may have the ability to give everybody in this section $100 and thank them for being at church today. But there's a stark contrast in ability and willingness. Ability might be there. Willingness may be the hindering factor. Can I tell you there is difference in ability and willingness? You can have the ability and not be willing. But let me declare to you, God is not in that equation. He's able and he's willing. He's not only able to save, he's willing to save. He's not only able to heal, he's willing to heal. He's not only able to deliver, he's willing to deliver. He's not only able to restore, he's willing to restore. If you don't believe me, reference Jairus and ask him if God is able to heal and ask him if God is willing to heal. It was his ability that caused Jairus to seek him, but it was his willingness that brought Jesus on the journey to where his daughter was. Why? Because he is able. But oh, thank God, he is willing. Mark would describe to us the man sick with the palsy. And the Bible says, Mark 2:5, and Jesus saw their faith and said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Not only able to forgive sin, willing to forgive sin. Let me preach to you today a message of what I believe to be great hope, that there is an intersection of his ability and his willingness. He's able, but he's willing. I could preach and give you more biblical examples, but you can take inventory of your life. Today, what is it that you need? What is it that you've walked into this service having great need of? Because we've already well established he's able. But I'm going to declare to you this Sunday morning, he's willing. And yet the intersection of his ability and his willingness does not happen on his side of the equation. It is on us. Because he's able and he's willing. But it's according to the power that worketh in us. It is according to my response in faith. I know God can, and I know God will, and I have no question of his ability. Can God? Yes. Can God? Yes. Can God? Yes. Will God? Yes. Will God? Yes. It doesn't matter what the storm or the trial or the test. I declare to you the same truth. Can God? Yes, he can. Will God? Yes, he will. It's not a contingency of his ability or his willingness, but it is my response at the intersection today that determines the outcome for my tomorrow. Brother Wilbanks probably could have told you this, but in 20-some-odd years of preaching, I don't think I've ever preached a shouting message. Let me just go ahead and prep you. Today probably won't be that either. Because we could shout over God's ability, and we could dance about God's willingness. But I am convinced that there are two things that often barricade us from receiving. And it has nothing to do with if God is able. Now unto him who is able. It has nothing to do with if God is willing. Because he is willing to save to the uttermost any that call on him. He is able. If you will come, he's able. And he's willing. And he'll meet you here. But I am convinced that there are two barricades that cause us to leave services like this, carrying the same things we carried in. Two things that we must do when we come to the intersection of God's willingness and God's ability. The first is exemplified greatly in the story of 1 Kings. We love it and we preach it. We sing about it. It's the story of Elijah as he encounters the 400 prophets of Baal. And fire is falling from heaven and we sing it and we shout it and we love it. But there's something that happens after that, because you got to take into account Elijah is speaking to King Ahab, and the kingdom is in disarray, and then Israel is in a backslidden stupor, and idol worship has become preeminent in the land. And so the Lord sends Elijah in with a word. They've not heard a word of God in some years now. And so God sends a word by Elijah the Tishbite, and he shows up at the king's house, and he declares that by his word before the Lord from which he stands, he said, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. And the Bible says that the heavens were shut up, that it did not rain. And then the Lord comes to him, and here's what he says in 1 Kings 17:3. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. God was able. And certainly God was willing. He's giving him an open invitation. He's saying, I have the ability that you're going to go to this brook and you're going to drink. And the ravens are going to come and they're going to feed you. Now, also take into the part of the equation that ravens are not exactly bringing filet mignon. Okay? I don't know. I'm not exactly familiar with the diet of ravens, but they are a scavenger bird. Very likely they were not bringing the choicest of meals, but they were bringing substance to sustain. But what is intriguing to me is in this scripture, you will drink of the brook and you will be fed. God's able, God's willing, but there's one word here that is contingent upon Elijah. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Elijah, I am able and I'm willing, but it's going to require you to be there. You're going to have to get up from where you are. And if you'll make your way to the brook Cherith, there I have already ordained by my ability, and I've already set in motion by my willingness. And if you'll just get up from here and make your way, that can I tell you, saint of God, he's able to meet you in this house. If you'll just get up from where you are and find a place to meet him there, you've already made the effort. You've already walked in the house. You may as well lift up your hands and let your faith reach. Why? Because God is able to do it today. And he's willing. And the only contingency to a brook and ravens that sustain the man of God was, Elijah, if you'll position yourself to receive, if you'll get up from here and make your way there, I'm able and I'm willing. Certainly there are those in this room today that can lift their hand and testify to that. We can recall that time where we made our way to an altar. Was God able to forgive our sin? Was God able to give new life? Was God able to wash away yesterday? Absolutely. Was He willing? Yes, He was. But what was required of me was to get out of my here and to walk into there, to get into a place and an altar of repentance where God was more than willing and more than able to take away all of my sin and all of my shame and all of my shortcomings and to give me new life through Christ Jesus. And so I submit to you today, He's able and He's willing. If I'll just get myself in position, I can receive of the hand of God. And if the musicians would come, I'm going to share with you one last barricade to receiving from the hand of one who's able and the one who's willing. It's the book of Exodus, the 6th chapter. The Lord has spoken to Moses, and He has given him a word for the nation of Israel. He has been 40 years in the wilderness watching the sheep of his father-in-law. And now God has given him a great command to go and to deliver Israel. And here's what the Lord tells him to speak to Israel. Exodus 6 and 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Is He able? Is He willing? I will. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. If you want to see His willingness, it's declared time and again. Verse 8, I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. How's He going to do it? Right here He tells you, I will give it to you for a heritage. How? Because I am the Lord. In verse 9, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Moses gave them a word that most of us would shout the altars down over. God's going to deliver you. God's going to redeem you. God's going to give you the land. God's going to take you to the land. We would shout the place down to receive that word on a Sunday morning. God's going to do it. God's going to bring home the prodigal. God's going to restore the years of the locust and cankerworm. God's going to do it. My God, I feel that in the Holy Ghost for somebody this morning. God's going to do it. They're coming. God's going to do it. He said it time and time and time again. Abraham heard it. Isaac heard it. Jacob heard it. But it wasn't just lip service, because He wasn't only able, He was willing, and He gave them the thing that He promised. My God, I'm fixing to get off some notes. Abraham heard it, Isaac heard it, Jacob heard it. Moses gazed on it, but Joshua walked in it. Let me declare to you something that I feel in the Holy Ghost this morning. There are promises and there are words that have been spoken. And generation heard it, Abraham heard it, Isaac heard it, Jacob heard it, Moses heard it. But somewhere there's a Joshua who's going to walk in it. I can't get away. I'm gonna finish that thought in just a moment, but I'm telling you something in the Holy Ghost. There is a saint of God that word has been lingering for years and years and years, but you let me declare to you on a Sunday morning, he's not only able, he's not just able to speak it, he's willing to do it. I wish somebody would lift their hands across this sanctuary right now and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, who is able and who is willing. There are promises, prophecies, and prophetic utterances that you've heard and you've heard and you've heard. But I'm declaring to you today, there's coming a day. Don't be dismayed. And don't be overcome by doubt. And don't allow your faith to be discouraged. Now unto him who is able. Now here, let me finish. And Moses spake this word to Israel. I'm going to deliver you, redeem you, restore you, give you the land. But they hearkened not unto Moses. They didn't hear it. They didn't receive the word. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. One translation says, they hearkened not to Moses for a broken spirit. Come help me. You, great example. I hate whatever happened to you here. Now, just let me ask you. It's going to be really hard stuff, okay? Just, I hope you've had coffee. Can you do with a, is it broke? What's the deal? Oh, fun. We're going to say that classifies as pretty well broke. I don't know what that means. I'm not a doctor. Can you do with that arm what you can do with that arm? Can you reach as high with that arm as you can with that arm? Let's try. That's a vast difference.
Thanks.
I saw you walk in with that this morning. I was like, that's going to get her probably embarrassed and called up in front of everybody. But anybody ever broke an arm? Broke anything? You can't do with a broken arm what you can do with a whole arm. You can't reach as high. You can't carry as much. There's not as much strength in that broken arm as there is in a whole arm. And yet Israel hears the word of God. We're going to give you the land. You're going to be blessed going in. You'll be blessed going out. All these things. And because of a broken spirit, their faith could not receive. They couldn't quite reach to grab a hold of what God was promising and declaring over them that day because of the brokenness of their spirit. They heard it, but they couldn't grab it because that broken spirit couldn't reach as far as if their spirit was whole. Their spirit had been broken by the bondage of Egypt. Their faith had been crushed by the crushing burdens of 400 years of slavery. And because of a broken spirit, they heard a word they couldn't receive. And can I tell you, the adversary of your soul would love nothing more than for your mistakes from yesterday to crush your spirit to the place that you can't receive God's word for your today. The adversary would love nothing more than for you to allow the bondage of Egyptian bondage in your past. All of those things you used to be bound to, you used to do, those mistakes you made, those shortcomings you had, that doubt that clouded your mind, that fear that consumed you. He would love nothing more than for your spirit to be so broken by the bondage of Egypt that you can't receive what God is declaring to you today. And so I submit to you that the second barricade, sometimes we walk into the house of God and we're so broken by yesterday that we can't receive from the one who's able and willing today. But today's different. Right now's different. This moment can change your life. Because when you come to this altar, you're coming to the intersection of His ability and His willingness. You're going to come and you're going to lift your hands and you're going to lift your voice unto Him who is able. And as they begin to sing, I wonder if you would just stand with me across the house. I don't know your story. I don't know what yesterday was. I don't know what hindrances have held you back for years now. But I know there's one here today that wants to meet you. He's able and He's willing. And if you would just step out from where you are, maybe you need peace today. He's able and He's willing. Maybe you need strength today. He's able and He's willing. Maybe you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Let me assure you, He is able and He is willing. Maybe you're here today and you've been broken by yesterday. Let me tell you, He is able to heal and to restore today. I wonder if you would come, if you would make an altar where you're seated, whatever's comfortable, whatever it is for you today. But I open this altar and I ask you, would you come? He's able and He's willing. I don't know what you have need of, but I know unto Him who is able. I preached 7 minutes longer than I intended, but I wonder today, would we just carve out another minute or two? And would we just come before Him? Come with your brokenness. Come with your doubts. Come with whatever has been bothering you to the intersection of His ability and His willingness today. Amen.